It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew, the 9th chapter. We're going to begin reading with the first verse, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to call us, our phone number here at the church is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, it's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. So now we begin with the study. We want to get right to the Word of God. That's our joy and that's our strength. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And behold, a certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto man. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of customs. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. We're going to end with that 9th verse today and begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together and enjoy this precious time. Please that you would guide and lead us and let us know your truths and your way. It's so exciting and so enjoyable to study your precious word. So please just guide us through it, because we must have the Spirit, the great teacher, to teach us your precious word. Walk us through it just step by step, little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept, that we may know your way and know your will. So please, please, dear Lord, dear Father, just guide us through it. We thank and praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, that died for our sins. And as Jesus himself here speaks of, I will forgive your sins. And they didn't understand that, Father, and we're going to enjoy that study today. Many people do not understand those same words when we speak them and say, Jesus, the Son of God, can forgive you of your sins, set you free, give you the strength and the power, because the Holy Spirit comes to live within you when you acknowledge your sin and believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, your only begotten Son. Father, just thank you for the study today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we talked in the last time we were together, we spoke here in Matthew of these four men, and we have a couple other verses of Scripture here, so we're going to kind of back up and reread them. These four men did not just talk the talk. They brought to him a man sick of palsy, laying on a bed. And in studying the other Scriptures, Matthew and Mark, and we're going to start there and read these again, they brought him to Jesus. And we need to bring people to Jesus. We need to talk to them. We need to share the gospel with them. We need to bring them to Jesus. And so let's look here at a couple other verses of Scripture. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And as we begin reading with verse 21, "Then Jesus went forth and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan come out at the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very same hour." You know, these four men bring this man to Jesus. They had faith. They knew. There's very little said about the man that had the palsy. But the men that brought him knew. The men that brought him believed that without question he could heal him and would heal him. It wasn't a matter if he could. It would be a matter if he would, because you see, the Lord knows best. Sometimes he chooses to heal us. Sometimes he chooses for us to go down that path that sickness or illness would lead us, the places it would take it. Paul's an example of that. We don't know what it was for sure. It was a thorn in the flesh. Was it something other than his eyes? We know that his eyes, he had trouble with them. And so was that what he was asking the Lord to take? But the Lord just told Paul, he said, you know, I am sufficient. I can take care of you. You don't need to have that ailment, that sickness healed. I'm enough. Here, these four men, back in Matthew 9, brought this man by faith. They went to great effort. In other Gospels, we find that they lower, they open up the roof and lower him down. They weren't about to not let this man come to Jesus. And he did, and we'll talk about what Jesus said to him first here in the end of verse 2 in a minute. But right now, we need to see this woman here also departed, the woman of Canaan, came out of the same coast of Canaan. Mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. It seems that Jesus was harsh, wasn't it? You'd have thought that he would have heard, you know, he heard, he knew, as we know later on down here in chapter 9, he knows the thoughts of these Pharisees and these doctors of law. He knows their thoughts, he knows their everything. And so he had to know and would have known this woman. And how she was so grieved at the demons that possessed her daughter. And yet he seemed to ignore her. And he said, you know, I've come for the Israel. You're of Canaan. But that didn't stop her. You see, there was a test here. Was she going to let pride enter in? Many people do. Or was she going to just continue to plead with the one that could answer the problem, the only one that could answer the problem? And that's exactly what she did. And when he came back with this response here, you know, in number one, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel, okay? But came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. That's what the Gentiles, that's what they were looked upon. He came for the chosen of Israel. But that didn't stop her, because she knew she was talking to the Messiah. And her response was, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I'm not leaving, that's what she said. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In that very same manner. So you see, the four men, their faith brought this man. He was not only healed, but his sins forgiven. But here we have this young lady, her daughter, was made whole. The demons were cast out because of her mother's faith. So you see, we have that opportunity and that power to pray and to give direction. Let's look to Mark chapter 7. That was a wonderful study there to show us the faith that can be held and given. We come here to Mark chapter 7, verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis, and they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment of his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And they bring unto him one that is deaf, and one that cannot speak. You see what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. All right, let's move now on back to chapter 9 of Matthew, the third verse. Let's go back up just a little bit here, verse 2, before, because that brings us right into it. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes saith within themselves, this man blasphemes. Jesus sure woke up the religious crowd with that statement, thy sins be forgiven thee. Certain of the scribes, this was of the Pharisees and the doctors of law, all come out to see. They came, according to Luke 5:17, they came from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. This man blasphemes, the scripture tells us here. That's what they claimed. Speak injuriously, insultingly, to defame, or to slander. That is what that word means. The Jews meant you are reviling God. You are insulting God. They said, no man can take away sin, can forgive sin, except God Almighty. They didn't know. They were talking to God. They didn't know. They missed it. So sad today. Multitudes miss Jesus. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ. They didn't know. They didn't know. But Jesus did. Jesus knew their thoughts. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? He didn't have to hear those words. He knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. Jesus is omniscient, always knowing. In Mark chapter 2, verse 8, with the same message, it said he perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves. So they reasoned within themselves. They're thinking about this. Perceived in his spirit. He knew their thought. He knew their thought. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? You know, today we have a lot of superstars, and we even have some shows that proclaim that they are supermen. Jesus is truly a superman because he is God and man. No one can match his power. No man can match his wisdom. No man can match his strength because he is completely God and completely man. Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? The word tells us that in a man's heart is not only the place or the seat of affection, but is also the seat of thoughts. So when we say that you need to trust in the Lord Jesus and ask him into your heart, we're not talking about the organ. We're talking about the seat of affections and the seat of thoughts. Ask him to come in and to rule and to reign. That's what we need to do. But you can only do that when the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Convicts your heart. Shows you that you're a sinner, you're a lost sinner, and you need salvation, you need to be saved, you need to be born again. The Holy Spirit shows you, introduces you to the Son of God. But he does that through means of showing you who you are, that you need someone to save you, because you're a lost sinner. You're lost. This next section here deals with that, and I will read it for you just because it builds us right into it, and we won't get to it today. We'll get to it next time. But in verse 10, it said, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You see, you need to know that you're a sinner. If you just say, "Jesus, please save me," from what? If the Spirit of God has not convicted your heart and shown you who you are and what you are, you don't need the great physician to heal you. But when you recognize that you're sick, sick in sin, then is when the great physician will come and heal. So please trust in the Lord Jesus today. We'll get to that part later, but it's a important understanding that we need to know. We need to know. So please understand that when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, it's because you have recognized that you need him. Recognize that he is the only one that can save you. Now, back to this verse and where they had the problem. When he said, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee," well, that was their problem. And so Jesus, knowing their hearts, and "Wherefore think you evil," and in verse 5, whether it is easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven," or "Arise and walk"? What's easier? Jesus approached them with this question, which is easier? Well, what a question for these scribes and Pharisees and doctors of law. What a question. He approaches them, which is easier? Because you see, man can do neither. Man cannot speak and heal the body. Man cannot speak and have your sins forgiven. Man can do neither. So when this question was stated, when this question was asked, the one asking is the only one that has that strength. Which is easier? For God, either. Doesn't matter. It's as easy for him because of dying on the cross and being God. You see, when he died on the cross, that opportunity comes. So from here, they were believing forwards that Jesus was going to finish that work, and he did. We look back. For either God can perform. He can heal the sick, and he can take away your sin. But for man, neither can do it. And in this instance here, in this picture here, in this scripture here, he does both. He takes his word, and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Remember, these four men brought this man. We're not told anything about this man or what he believes or anything else. But God always has a purpose. And here he said, "Thy sins are forgiven." That just took these scribes, these religious people, they just went crazy because they didn't know what to do. "Wait a minute," he said. But then God, the Lord Jesus asks this question, which is easier? Which is easier? He wants to know. Please tell me. Well, "For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven, or arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick in palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Man can do neither. God can do both. Remember that. Understand that. Oh, doctors with medicine, I have had the joy and the opportunity of having cancer twice and having it taken care of by doctors. But I believe without question, it too was with the hand of God. Now many doctors do not give credit unto God for his power and the ability that they have in their hands to do surgery and things of that. But I know even an unbelieving doctor God uses to heal me. And I know that my Lord and Savior took my sin away when I recognized that I was sick and needed a Savior. This man was sick. He had palsy. He needed healing, physical healing. But more than that, he needed to be forgiven of his sins. What a beautiful picture here. What a beautiful statement. And you see, he has that authority. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, 18. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He has the power. He has the authority. He has the might, the power. Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. What a day. He was carried. He couldn't even hold on to someone's shoulder to walk in amongst the crowd to get him there. He was bedridden, and so they took this cot and they tore the roof, the tile off the roof, and they led him down before the Lord Jesus. What faith these four men had. And as a result, this man was saved. His sins were forgiven. This man was healed. And he arose and departed into his house. He was carried to Jesus, and then he walked home, rejoicing, rejoicing. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now that's quite a statement, isn't it? He was God-man. Luke 5:26 says, And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. It was evident that they believed Jesus was only a man. They glorified God because he had given such a man power. Still don't get it, do they? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?